Well, the gospel today comes from Jesus' conversations with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he died. And it's one of those sections in the Bible where the whole gospel is, I think, quite well summarized. When he had gone out, which refers to the departure of Judas from the other disciples, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God has been glorified in him." Now, this slightly mysterious word, glorified, is used quite extensively in John's gospel. And glorify, I think, can best be understood as showing the real truth, showing the real essence. The real truth about Jesus in John is shown in the whole sequence of the events of his last days, washing feet, allowing himself to be arrested, his trial, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And through this, Jesus shows the world what he's all about. And he also glorifies the Father. Jesus shows us the whole truth about the unconditionally loving Father. Jesus the Son, the earthly expression of God. And in response, we, his followers, are clearly here called to love. Love beyond the Old Testament standard of loving others as yourselves, but loving in line with the rather daunting standard of how Jesus loves, the one who loved to the extent that he died for us all. So we are part of the chain of love and glorifying from the Father to the Son to the church and out into the world. And through trying to love as Jesus loved, the church glorifies and shows the pulsating presence of God in the here and now. And firstly, that means that members of the church, different churches have got to love one another and show that love clearly towards each other. And as we know, there's quite a bit of work to do on that front, including in this wonderful city. Work to bind ourselves closer, mutually to support each other, encourage and celebrate all that we have in common rather than trumpeting what we have as differences. Now, English is an impoverished language when it comes to words for love. We love our partners, we love Prosecco on summer evenings, we love TV psychological thrillers, we love, some of us even, Chelsea or Leeds United. We love God, the same verb, struggling to describe adequately very different aspects of involvement and passion. But Greek, the language of the New Testament, is much better furnished with words of love. And Philip was discussing some at Start Stop in his excellent reflection on Tuesday. The highest form of love in Greek is agape, a radical, selfless love, a charity, a love for all, not expecting anything in return. And agape reflects the love that God has for his world, for us all. That's the love that Jesus commands us to show, to work at, to practice, to keep getting wrong, but starting again, and to encourage each other to show. And this is the love that is celebrated in the glorious anthem that we'll hear at the end of the service, setting by the Norwegian composer Jalo, Ubi Caritas et Amor, where charity or agape and love are, God is there. The second verse from the anthem can be translated, Where charity and love are, God is there. At the same time, therefore, are gathered into one. Lest we be divided in mind, let us beware. Let evil impulses stop. Let controversy cease. And in the midst of us be Christ our God. Where charity and love are, God is there. Words that urgently need to resonate through our country. Now, in Acts 11 that David read for us, Peter has to face up to the Jewish members of the church in Jerusalem who are still clinging to the comfort blanket of tribalism. Even though they're Christians, they still see the Gentiles as unclean. They want to keep the laws of circumcision and the food laws to distinguish. And they confront Peter over his entry as a Jew into the house of Cornelius and his fraternization with Gentiles. And in Acts, Luke details Peter's somewhat bizarre vision twice to emphasize its crucial significance. During his afternoon siesta, Peter sees a sheet descending, packed with a smorgasbord of creatures, all of which are available for the evening barbecue. And you have to say, they're not immediately appetizing. Reptiles, beasts of prey, more like the witch's cauldron contents in Macbeth than a Waitrose dinner for two, perhaps. And certainly alarming for vegetarians and vegans amongst us. But as is often the case in the Bible, the images are deliberately shocking to make us sit up and to make a point. This is really nothing to do with menu selection, but all to do about the nations, the races of this world being all created by God, all equal, all accepted, all in his saving plan. No distinction, no partiality, no condemnation for any. Discrimination is blasphemy. As Peter was converted to the acceptance of all by his vision and his encounter with Cornelius, so Peter converts these Jewish Christians to universal acceptance and the need for a universal mission breaking out from Jerusalem, the lands of the Jews, to the very ends of the world. The Holy Spirit is crucial to undoing this prejudice that had formed through centuries, really, of Jewish mistaken their being chosen by God, mistaking it, thinking that they were there, therefore, the favorites of God, chosen to be the representatives of God. All nations are equal. There is no nationalism in the gospel, no room for prejudice or elitism. Relying on this same Spirit working within us, our worship, our projection of this gospel of salvation has to include no room for barriers. Our agape love must transcend tribalism, man-made barriers. Tribalism, I think, should just be expressed in the theater of sport. And at this time of deeply troubling political turmoil and division, let us fervently pray that whatever the ultimate outcome of beloved Brexit, whatever the ultimate structure of our relationship with Europe, let us pray that this country will continue to contribute energetically to the European interaction that has helped unprecedented peace and harmony in Europe for over 70 years. Let us pray that the riches of this country will be used generously, that the diversity of this country, shown especially in this great city, will continue to flourish. I had a good reminder of that this morning. I was staying in Finsbury Park with Benj, and had a white knuckle ride, bike ride, from Finsbury Park to the city. I have to say that all traffic regulations weren't always complied with, but we got there in one piece or two pieces. But cycling through Finsbury Park into Stoke Newington, Hackney, Hoxton, it's just extraordinary seeing all the different racers going about their normal daily business. And we pray that that will continue to flourish. And I end, perhaps unprecedentedly, with a quotation from the Mail on Sunday about corporate agape. Gina Leader said, "Let us work for unity, for doing our bit, for paying our share and sharing the load. Work to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other, with our neighbors, and with those in peril who need someone, anyone to stand with them." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.